of the very young men with whom I served and their constant, casual courage. It is an attempt to describe functioning as a soldier while gripped by deathly fear, the soul-shattering effects of betrayal, and the lifetime bonds that form between fighting men. It is also about the life-changing loss of innocence that follows the death of a close comrade. In a lesser way, it is about a tiny part of a large, strategically vital campaign. The 5-day siege of Firebase Kate took place in 1969, at a turning point in what now seems like an ancient and misbegotten conflict. 4 years earlier, American ground forces went to war against a well-armed and highly motivated North Vietnamese invasion force. America sent its best troops into battle, sent them to grapple with the enemy, to punish and to kill, certainly, but also to take our foe's measure and to learn if and how a road to victory was possible. The year 1969 marked the abandonment of that road. Kate was an ephemeral, cautionary signpost in history's rearview mirror on what would become a detour to a costly and ignominious failure. As late as the previous year, the route to American victory had appeared to be well-paved and wide open. Defeated in the field at every turn, the Viet Cong were seemingly reduced to small, mostly homegrown guerrilla bands. They were a nuisance, but no longer much of a threat. The 1965 invasion by the People's Army of Vietnam, PAVN, as the North Vietnamese Army called itself, had been turned around by 500,000 Americans and Allied troops. Pursued by our highly mobile infantry, attacked high and low by our deadly warplanes, pounded by our armed helicopters and long-range artillery, the PAVN fought hard and fought well, but repeatedly was forced to retreat to its sanctuaries in supposedly neutral Cambodia and Laos. Hanoi's official records show that at least 24 PAVN or Viet Cong were killed for every American whose name would be engraved on our wall of tears on the Washington Mall. Meanwhile, day after day, U.S. bombers flattened Hanoi and its environs, to say nothing of large parts of South Vietnam, with thousands of tons of explosives, more bombs than were dropped by all sides during World War II. Through America's largely compliant media, top Pentagon and White House officials assured the nation that even with support from the Soviet Union and Red China, a country as small and resource-poor as North Vietnam could not prosecute war on this scale much longer. Then came Tet, a national and regional celebration of the Chinese Lunar New Year. Until 1968, in the course of this war, Tet was a brief midwinter pause for an informal countrywide truce. Tet 1968 was instead a surprise surge of simultaneous, well-coordinated, and deadly Viet Cong attacks on every major city in South Vietnam. Tet was a shock to America's nervous system, a blow to the national solar plexus. From a purely military perspective, however, the Tet Offensive was a Viet Cong disaster. The nationwide civilian uprising against American forces that the VC had expected to trigger died stillborn. Fighting in some cities persisted for months. When it was over, most of the best VC troops, and virtually all its experienced leaders, were dead. In addition, and not least, the usually lethargic Army of the Republic of South Vietnam, the ARVN, which bore the brunt of Tet's urban fighting, acquitted itself with surprising distinction. Initially outnumbered and under fierce attack, the ARVN closed ranks and fought, wrote General Nguyen Cao Ky, then vice president and a former commander of the South Vietnam Air Force, VNAF. From the top down, senior officers led by example, sharing the risks of battle. We kicked the VC out of our cities, we kicked their ass. The little Vietnamese soldier will fight hard under good leadership. Tet was nevertheless a huge propaganda victory for the Hanoi regime. It told the American public that the Pentagon's rosy predictions of imminent victory were at best wishful thinking, but possibly a campaign of deliberate deception. Millions of Americans held a personal stake in the war. Those who had served in Vietnam and those at or near draft age